You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
So this year, as Graham mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be going with the theme of being a follower, not just a fan. And I'm sure that through the year there'll be lots of different aspects and pictures that'll come out of being a follower and not just a fan. And so today I'll touch on something called trust. And if I could give a picture, I thought a fan applauds and says, "That looks fantastic, that's amazing," but doesn't get involved. But a follower trusts. And I had a picture of some people going, led by a guide through mountains and up hilltops and down through rivers, and they'd never been that way before, but they had to trust the person that was leading them. And so if I can just leave you with that picture about a follower, not just a fan, that you've got to trust the leading guide. And I love what Graham said last week, or 2 weeks ago, when he talked about the comparison trap. There'll be lots of stuff that we talk about here, and we need to be careful that we're just not comparing ourselves one to another. We need to be careful that when we hear different things talked about, some of them might be a bit heavy, but don't let it be a weight, let it be a release. And if God's talking to you about something, then work with God on it. So today, we'll start with a bit of a reading, and we're going to read from the Old Testament today. And one of the things that we need to be aware of with the Old Testament is that the Old Testament is not just about Old Covenant. And some people think the New Testament is New Covenant and the Old Testament is Old Covenant. But it's important that we know, and you may have heard this before, but I just want to start with this before I get into the message. It said that the new is the old contained. The new is the old contained. And the old is the new explained. And so the New Testament or the New Covenant is hidden in the Old Testament. And so there are many things, well, lots and lots of things, and it's all relevant, but are very relevant for us in the New Covenant. So I just want to start with that, and you know, don't switch off because it's Old Testament, because it's real and it's alive and it's all God's Word and it's alive today. So 2 Kings 24, verse 12 to 14. I just want to read you this as a beginning, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. This is set in about the year, well, I think it's in around the year 600 BC. It says this: "Then King Jehoiachin, along with the queen mother, his advisors, his commanders, and his officials surrendered to the Babylonians. In the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he took Jehoiachin prisoner, as the Lord had said beforehand." He took him prisoner, as the Lord had said beforehand. "Nebuchadnezzar carried away all the treasures from the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He stripped away all the gold objects that King Solomon of Israel had placed in the temple. King Nebuchadnezzar took all of Jerusalem captive, including all the commanders and the best of the soldiers, craftsmen and artisans. 10,000 in all, only the poorest people were left in the land." Not real nice. Not feeling really good if you're King Jehoiachin. I don't know how to say it. That'll do. But we're not talking about that king today because he's too hard to pronounce. So we're going to talk a little bit about the life of King Hezekiah. And so from that point of about 600 BC, we're going to go back in time about 70 years earlier. And we're going to talk about King Hezekiah of Judah. 2 Kings 18 tells us that King Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, which isn't old. And he was king for 29 years. And unlike many of the other kings, the Bible says that he did was what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And here's just a couple of things about King Hezekiah. God had delivered him or them from the Assyrians. In 2 Kings 19:35, it says, there was a battle going on and the Assyrians were quite great in number. And it was looking like that they were going to lose. And then it says, the night the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed, one angel went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That's one thing in the life of Hezekiah. The second thing is that God had healed him and given him an amazing sign and added 15 years to his life. And the third thing that we notice about Hezekiah is that God had exalted him, including all his wealth. So if we can get the scripture up on the screen now, we're just going to read towards the end of Hezekiah's life. And so I'll read it, and if you want to follow on the board or in your Bibles, you can. So it's 2 Kings 20, 12 to 19. Soon after this, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah his best wishes and a gift. For he had heard that Hezekiah had been very sick. Hezekiah received the Babylonian envoys and showed them everything in his treasure houses. The silver, the gold, the spices, and the aromatic oils. He also took them to see his armory and showed them everything in his royal treasuries. There was nothing in his palace or kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked him, "What did those men want? Where were they from?" Hezekiah replied, "They came from the distant land of Babylon." Verse 15 says, "What did they see in your palace?" This is what Isaiah asked him. Then he replied, "They saw everything." Hezekiah replied, "I showed them everything I own, all my royal treasuries." All my royal treasuries. So everything that was his. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Listen to this message from the Lord." And this is fun. "The time is coming when everything in your palace, all the treasures stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your very own sons will be taken away into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylonian's king." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, one of the most staggering things that I've ever heard before, "This message you have given me from the Lord is good." For the king was thinking, "At least there will be peace and security during my lifetime." Let's just have a look at a couple of definitions here. Babylon would be a picture of the world or the world system, and the original place of Babylon comes from the Tower of Babel, which you would call a place of confusion. Merodach-Baladan was the son of the Babylonian king and a worshipper of Baal. And the final definition is eunuch, and it's not a complicated one, but the definition of eunuch would be the end of the line. The modern day interpretation, let's go back, say, 10 or 12 years. And let's have a bit of a look at, who could we take? Jeff Kennett. And someone from New South Wales comes and Jeff's been a bit sick. And they come down on the great train system from New South Wales down to Victoria. And and there's a knock on the door from one of Jeff's officials, and he says, "Oh, Jeff, the chiefs from New South Wales, or one of the chief's sons from New South Wales, has come down to give you a gift, and he's come to give you a letter." "Yes." "Bring them in." So Jeff brings them in, and he decides, he doesn't worry about the letter or the gift, but he decides he's going to take them on a bit of a tour. And so Jeff starts to take them around the state. "Oh, I'm going to show you some of our treasuries, some of our great things." So he takes them. First he goes out in the country and he takes them into the Alpine, in the high ranges, and he shows them all the great pictures we've got. He takes them down to the 12 apostles, which are beginning to disappear. He takes them to the MCG, shows them the great grounds of the MCG. He takes them out to the Mint, where all the money's printed. And he thought, "I'll take you to a few other things that are great, that are mine. I'll take you to the Crown Casino, because that's just a money-making venture. I might even take you out to Shepparton and show you the great business of SPC. And I might even take you and show you all our fantastic car plants, Toyota, Ford, and Holden." And so he took them on a bit of a trip and showed them all those things. And then his reign ended. And a few years later, some of those things began to disappear. And so today, I just want to ask you some questions before we go through and talk a little bit about the life of Hezekiah. Three quick questions before I go on. Are you enchanted, captivated, or bewitched by the things of this world? Is your security in God and the things he has done, or is your security in your treasures, what you have or what you have done? Do you make decisions for the long term with an eternal mindset, or are they for the short term, even though they may not seem harmful at the time? The first thing that I want to talk about in this story of Hezekiah is, the first thing we notice about this story is that firstly, he trusted the world. Now, Hezekiah wasn't a silly man, but he must have known that there was a risk in showing these guys all these treasures. And at times, there's things in our life when we're making decisions. There's times in our life where, when we're making a decision, this little voice comes into our head. Could be the voice of God that says, "I'm not sure whether this is a good idea or whether this is a God idea." You need to listen to the Spirit of God. But he trusted the world. Isaiah says, "What did those men want?" Well, Hezekiah didn't answer that question. Why didn't he ask why someone from Babylon is bringing a letter and gifts? See, at that time, the Bible was very clear that the Gentile nations could not and should not be trusted. The Assyrians were a threat to the Babylonian Empire, and the envoys were probably hoping for an ally in Judah. There's an ancient proverb that goes with this, that goes like, "There is never a free lunch." There is never a free lunch. So he trusted the world. The second thing we see is that he looked for his security in the world. Hezekiah gave them the VIP treatment, hoping to form an alliance as security or protection from the Assyrians. Now, I don't know about you, but when you've had one angel come along and you've had them wipe out 185,000 Assyrians, why would you need any support from the Babylonians, when you know God has come through for you before, when he has been there with you thick and thin, why all of a sudden would you change and start to put your security in the world? We cannot afford to think the same way as Babylon. Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the third thing that we see here is that he forgot to mention that God owns everything. So he's shown them his treasuries. He said to Isaiah that they were his. He showed them all his things. Now he forgot to mention that they weren't his. They were actually God's. And for all of us, that's a really important thing to know. Do you know your house, your car, all the things that you have in your possession are not yours, but they're actually God's? And if we believe what the Bible says, and let's just read what he said, I showed them everything I own, all my royal treasuries, my precious things, my armor, my treasures, my house, my dominion. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything. Now that to me would mean everything. And so in actual fact, I own nothing. God owns everything. It's interesting the way we make decisions in our life on the basis that they're our things and not God's. Okay, so we forgot that God owns everything. Number four. His pride, which is my way is better than yours, God, no matter what the Bible says, got in the way of his decision making. Verse 15 said, he showed them everything, all my treasures, precious things, armor, treasures, ointments, spices, house, dominion. See, Hezekiah wanted to impress the Babylonian envoys. He showed them his treasures, what he valued, his priorities. At the time, even after God had delivered him from the Assyrians and healed him, he showed them only his treasures. He made no mention to the Babylonians about his healing, what God's done previously. How often we forget what God's done. I can't tell you the amount of times I've seen people in church walk away from church because they've been hurt in church, and yet they have forgotten all the things that God has seen them through. That they've, and the most of all, given them eternal life, and they walk away from church and break their relationship with him. It's a sad thing. So for you today, what treasures get in the way of your decision making? So he said he showed them everything. So this morning I'm just going to go through some of the things that may be our treasures. And let's try and get into where we're at today. So I've got a few little props here, that props and pictures and stuff. So these are kind of rooms that he showed them. And this is the first treasure that he showed them. He showed them time. Time is very valuable these days. This is a treasure for a lot of people. My time is more important than what God wants. My time is absolutely more important than what God wants. God wants you to rest. God wants you to put time aside for him. No, but my time's really important. I've got to do other things. I don't need to get the word into my life. I can sit there and watch what I want and take the time to do that. But you know what? Time is a treasure these days. So maybe that's one of the things that Hezekiah showed him, the time room. Second room was the pool room. Now, do we know what the pool room represents? Anyone seen the castle? Trophies. It's going to the pool room. All the things that I've won or the people around me have won, I'm going to show in the pool room. That's going straight to the pool room. So he took them to the pool room. He showed them all the trophies, all the victories, everything he had done. Not what God had done, but what he had done. Take the Babylonians through, show them all the trophies. Fantastic stuff. Let's show them the trophies. Okay, the next one I've got is, this is not our setup, but can we get the picture? So that's not our setup. He showed them, that's not what we rent around Australia in, I'm telling you. Okay, this is the lifestyle room. This has got room for caravans, four-wheel drives, boats, timeshares. Decisions we make based on lifestyle. We need this lifestyle. So we'll make a decision based on that. We'll show the world our lifestyle. You know when you do stupid things in life? And things of this world cause you to do stupid things. Well, Matt Daly... Matt Daly... Matt Daly preached a message once on never giving up. And he was very kind to me when he preached that message. I tried to hide when he preached that message. And he was very nice and he preached a message about never giving up. Now, a few years ago, I need water for this one. This is hard to get out, I tell you. A few years ago, we bought a boat and we were going to trial it out one afternoon. Now, you might have heard Matt's version. That's the kind version. Let me give you my version. We bought a boat and... it was one of those things that would be great to show your mates, show how good your boat is. So anyway, this day, Matt was going to come with us to go boating. And this boat had a bit of an older kind of trailer. And so we'd had some troubles with the wheels on the trailer. So before we went out, we went and fixed all the wheels and put them back on the trailer and made sure they're working. And so we're going down the road. We're only about a kilometre down the road, and we had a flat tyre. We're a kilometre down the road, and we had a flat tyre. So that was okay. So we thought, well, let's fix it up. And my wife's sitting next to me in the front seat, as wives sit next to men in the front seat. She said, "Is everything going to be okay?" And it's like I typically do. "It's all right, darling. It's all under control. It's all good. No props at all." So we fixed that and changed it over, and we went a little bit further down the road, and I'm looking behind me, and I heard this scraping noise, and I see this wheel 50 foot in the air, bouncing before Matt's car, and over Matt's car. And anyway, believe it or not, we got the wheel back onto the car. Now, that would have been a great time to turn around and go home, wouldn't it? No, we didn't do that. We didn't do it because everything was under control and I had it all sorted out and everything was going to be fine. So we got a little bit further down the track and we got the wheel back on and we got another puncher. And so we were on the spare by this time. And I don't know the exact numbers here, but we're riding high on numbers of wheels. And I looked in the rear vision mirror and the spare's on, and I can just see the tyre starting to shred about 2 kilometres out of Yay. So I thought, that's okay, we're going to be all right. Let's take it in and get it all fixed at the Yay tyre place or whatever it was. And they happened to have a tyre that fixed, and we spent a lot of money on those tyres. I think we spent about $400 or $500 that day. I owe my wife some good weekends away, I tell you. And she wasn't a happy camper, I can tell you this. But I continued in my stupid decision making, and we eventually got there. But it's not a day that I'm proud of. And Matt might have shown it as something of never giving up, but it wasn't that sort of day for me. It was a day that I look back on and I think, that could have been dangerous. I could have hurt my family. I could have hurt Matt. Well, you know, I could have hurt my family. But it's not something that, you know, because it was all about wanting to show what I had. It was all about wanting to show my treasure. And it was a lifestyle thing that, you know, we wanted time away. But anyway, look, please hear me. I'm not saying that every lifestyle decision is a bad one. But I'm just saying, prioritise God in those decisions. Okay. So the next one is the investment room. If we've got that next picture up. It's the nest eggs room. It's where we put all our energy into setting up for our future, our investment properties, our nest eggs, our retirement. And we prioritise it above what God wants for us. So that's the next room he showed them. Now, the next room is the room that I'm quite familiar with. And if you just give me a minute here. It's the DIY room. Don't we just love the DIY room? One of the great rooms, the do-it-yourself room. Do everything yourself. Behave yourself. Make sure that you look fantastic. You're just amazing. And the other room is the dark room, which is the image room. These two rooms are fairly closely linked. And I think these two rooms and these two treasures are two of the most dangerous treasures if we hold dear to them. Let me explain. These two rooms are critical in our relationship and the relationship of those around us. They're critical in our relationship with God. And they're closely linked. First, the DIY room is the one that says we can look after ourselves. That we can do everything in our own strength. And the Bible doesn't say that we should do things in our own strength. Because in Matthew 6:33, I don't think the scripture says, but seek first his kingdom and my righteousness. I think it says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. And the second is to do with image and airbrushing. Airbrushing over the image so we don't see what is really going on. It's a false security. It's the security that Hezekiah was trying to get in the Babylonians. It was false. He wanted that sort of security. It was false. We keep things hidden from God and from others. And when it is hidden, because of shame, it can't be dealt with. And so we airbrush over what is really going on. You know, guys, light casts out darkness. And with things we hold as treasures, where we think we can possibly fix things in our life, because we've got it all under control, it's never going to happen. We need to bring the things in our life that are causing us grief out into the open. And don't airbrush over them. I had an issue in my life for a number of years. And it's an issue that I always felt that I would be able to fix. I felt that in my strength I'd be able to cope with it and handle it. And you know, it went on year after year after year after year after year. But it wasn't until God's light and God's grace came into my life like I'd never known it before. I'm talking about after I was a Christian, by the way. It wasn't until after that time where I thought, I can't be the DIY, do-it-yourself, fix-it man. Only God can fix it. Guys, if you're sitting here today and you've got issues in your life that you just cannot deal with and they are hidden, get them out in the open. Get them dealt with. Get them fixed. It may not be an easy process, but it might be a good process you go through. You've got to trust God through these things. Let's not trust the world, what the world says about, you know, keeping things hidden. Let's get it out into light and let God do what he needs to do, because that is of eternal value, not short-term value. Let's remove the image thing. Let's not be do-it-yourselfers, and let's seek his righteousness. His righteousness, not our own. Because then it says, then all these things will be added unto you. Now, they may not be possessions, but there'll be things in your life where you walk free and easy in the things of God. Now, I'm not saying life's always easy, but you walk free and you'll be able to work through things. I hope you're hearing that today. I really think I need to stop on that one and just pray, because I think that's hit some hearts here today. Father, we just thank you for your word and the things that it brings out, and the things that we see and the love that you have for us. And God, for those things in lives that are sitting here today that are hidden, that you want to bring out into the light and you want to see redeemed and restored, I pray that this day is a marked day in those lives. And so, Father, we just pray that your Spirit is upon those who I'm talking to, and they know who I'm talking to. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me get rid of this apron. It's a bit hot. I'm sweating. The fifth thing that we see here, and that's the end of the rooms, by the way. The fifth thing that we see about Hezekiah's life is he didn't care about the long-term outworking of his actions. The time is coming when everything in your palace, all your treasures stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your very own sons will be taken away into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylon's king. 19 says, then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, this message you have given me from the Lord is good. For the king was thinking, at least there will be peace and security in my lifetime. You know, I was preparing this message for a few days, but last night I was sitting there and my boy Joshua saw the title at the top of the message, and he said it was Hezekiah. And 2 or 3 years ago, we gave him a Bible, which was kind of like an action Bible. And he said, I know about Hezekiah. And I said, yeah, what do you think? And he said, he was a show-off. And he was selfish. He was showing off and didn't think of the consequences, and was selfish because he didn't think of the other people's future. He's 11 years old. Now, that's not to pat my son on the back, but how often we miss what God's trying to do in our life because of selfishness and we're showing off. He'd read it in the Bible and he'd seen it. I hope he gets it in his life. Let's think about the long-term outworking of our actions and decisions. Every one of them. Let's consider them. We don't want them taken off into Babylon. The sixth thing, and this is the last thing, and this is the thing that is probably, you know, I've touched on a little bit on the way through, is that he hadn't been thankful to God for his victories and all God had given him and his healing. He added an extra 15 years onto his life. And in this, you would think that when these Babylonians come, he would have said, hey guys, let's go into the temple of God. Let's go in and see the victories that God has given me. Let's go in and see the healing that God has given me. But instead, he trusted not in God, but in those other things. So you can't just trust God in one circumstance. Like, he trusted God along the way, but it, for some reason, he just dropped the ball. It's important that we don't drop the ball and keep going back to God no matter how we feel. It's not about feelings, that we go back because God has brought us this far and he will bring us home. It was as much about Hezekiah, what he forgot to do, that is amazing. After all he'd seen previously in his life, he hid God when it mattered. Being thankful and praising God for what he did and trusting him in all circumstances was imperative. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, rejoice always, 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all situations. Give thanks in all. And it's important that we have a thankful attitude towards God for all the things that he's done. And we keep revisiting it. And we keep going, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Because if we don't have a thankful attitude, we'll begin to get a bit gripey and, those things. But, you know, there are some things that are going to come in life that aren't going to be fun. But we need to thank God for where he's brought us to this point and not forget what he's done. When we say thank you to someone, in most cases it enhances a relationship. Like, you know, if I go down to Matt and I say, Matt, thanks for being my friend, Matt, and I look him in the eye and I say thank you, we've just done something in our relationship. And when we look God in the eye and we say thank you, God, for what you've done, it enhances our relationship. It does something in us. And, you know, we try to teach our boys to go and look people in the eye and shake them in the hand and say thank you, because it's an important thing in relationship building. It is no different with our relationship with God. When we forget to say thank you to someone, if someone does something for you and you just see you later, they're not going to be feeling real good about life. But it doesn't do that person any favours. And if you've seen someone do that, you think, you've got an issue, buddy. You've got a problem. And so it's important. It's really important that today we understand that we've got to thank God in all circumstances. Thank God for what he's done in our lives. Because if we forget those things, we'll begin to get like Hezekiah did towards the end of his life and get forgetful. Guys, if we can, I'm going to continue, but if we can have the communion begin to be distributed. We're going to finish with communion. Let's not forget what he's done. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. You know what, guys? Life is a step-by-step process. It's a step-by-step process of trusting God. Don't drop the ball. Trusting God is hard. It's not an easy thing when we've been through hardships, when we've been through times where God, it doesn't seem like he's been evident. But trusting God with our treasures and making sure that our treasures are in him is a massive thing. Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I just want you to look at that for a minute as you carry your communion with you. Just have a look at that just for a minute. And I want to go back and I want to go through some of the questions. Dave, can we go back to those three questions that I had on the board? I think it was the second or third slide. Some of them are a bit shorter than what I've got here on the paper, but I'll read this to you. Are you enchanted, captivated, or bewitched by the things of this world? Is your security in God and the things he has done? Or is your security in your treasures, what you have, or what you have done? Do you make decisions for the long term with an eternal mindset? Or are they for the short term, even though they may not seem harmful? I really want to stress today, and I'm going to talk about communion in a minute, but I really want to stress today that this isn't about comparing. This is about, what is God saying to you? Is there issues in the time room? Is there issues in the pool room? Is there issues with the lifestyle room? Is there issues with the DIY room? Or the image room? That's a you and God thing. It's not about what I've said or think. It's about, what's God saying to you today? And so, as we have our communion in our hands, I just want to encourage you today. The thing I love about communion is that every time we take it, it causes us to remember and not forget. Not forget what God has done eternally for us. You know, for anyone here who is a Christian, you are now in the journey of eternity. Eternity began when you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour. And you know, it saddens me when people forget that are Christians and don't think of that eternal thing that God has given us, eternal life, eternity with Him. And so today, I just encourage you in the things like Hezekiah forgot right at the end of his life after God had seen him through so much. Please don't forget. Don't forget what happened yesterday. Don't forget what happened 2 years ago. Don't forget what happened 10 years ago. Remember what God has done and rely on the things of Him and trust in Him. Now, I just want to take a couple of minutes for everyone to just reflect on what God said to you today. And as you reflect, just hold the elements in your hand that represent the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And at the end, I'll pray and then we'll take communion together.